Well, once upon a time, at a Sunday service in one of our very big Unitarian churches in Boston, a gentleman came in. He looked a little bedraggled. He had very long hair, and he was kind of making a ruckus in the back pew. And after every sentence the minister spoke, it seemed like this guy would shout, "Amen, preach it, brother, preach it, sister, hallelujah." Well, one of the ushers approached the man and spoke to him quietly, discreetly, and he said, "Sir, we don't do things like that here." And this man said, but I got religion." And the usher said, "Well, you certainly didn't get it here." So, some jokes about Unitarians, yes. The great American jurist Oliver Wendell Holmes, he lived back in the mid-1800s to early 1900s, was asked at a dinner party what his religion was. And he answered Unitarian, once again one of those Bostonians. And the person asking him said, "Well, why Unitarian?" And Holmes replied, "In Boston, everybody must be something, and the very least you can be is Unitarian." So, well, I became a Unitarian almost 40 years ago at a small fellowship in southeastern Alaska. Now, I remember calling the number. Of course, it was the summer when I got there, and so they weren't meeting. I called a number, and this gentleman approached me as I was walking through downtown in the middle of Sitka, is a Russian Orthodox church, right in the middle of the downtown street that runs, must be 5 blocks long. And he was tall and gaunt, had this salt and pepper beard, kind of in a point. He looked very Mephistophelian. It just kind of creepy. And he said, "Suzanne, I understand that you're calling about our church." And he turned out to be a lawyer in town and a Unitarian Universalist. And he said, "Oh, you are going to love this group. You know, I searched and I searched, and I finally found these Unitarians. They had moral standards that were low enough even I could live up to them." That actually prompted my very first sermon. Oh, gosh, that was like 14 years ago. About, if you read our principles, it's like, no, it's hard. But so who are these Unitarians? I thought, moral standards so low, even he could live up to them, and he had a reputation, let me tell you. So the name Unitarian. The name Unitarian was used by the Reverend William Ellery Channing in an 1819 sermon. It's called the Baltimore Sermon. Every Unitarian minister has read this. The sermon was entitled Unitarian Christianity. And in this sermon, Channing does two things. He states that we can and must use reason when reading the Bible. We cannot take it literally. We have to take it on several different levels, but we have to use our heads. And secondly, that God is a unity, and Jesus is a unity fully distinct from God, sent by God to effect a moral or a spiritual deliverance of humankind. He said that Jesus inspires morality and is more a teacher and a role model than he is any sort of metaphysical savior. Well, now that created a stir, and people who, in the congregational churches, where God was still seen as three beings who were separate but equal. So Channing brought up the idea that Unitarians can question, can read critically, can doubt, can think outside the box established by the establishment, which is at that time it was the Congregationalists down in the States. It was probably the Church of England up here, or the United Church hadn't even thought about uniting way back then in the 1800s. But so we were kind of in a state of heresy, of deciding which beliefs we would believe. But Channing and his other religious liberal liberal religionists did not think of themselves as heretics. They thought of themselves as reformers, as progressive thinkers. Their beliefs spoke to human agency, to free will, to the use of reason, and the oneness at our very core. That rain and sun, it's all the same. So another little story. Frances Moore LePay is an American researcher in the area of food and public policy, and almost 50 years ago, she wrote this little book called Diet for a Small Planet. Many of us may have read that. So when Miss LePay was a child, she attended a Bible class with a friend, and later that day, her mother asked her, "Okay, Frances, what did you learn?" And Frances replied by asking, "Mama, what's hellfire and damnation?" And her father, overhearing this conversation, turned to the mother and said, "It means that we need to gather a Unitarian church." And that's what her parents did, and that gathered together like-minded folks for whom hellfire and damnation did not compute. Well, these first Unitarians had a laundry list of things they did not believe in. The total depravity and sinfulness of humankind, predestination, the idea that you were born either saved or damned, and nothing that you did afterwards could change that determination, and that a few lucky folks would be saved by the gift of grace, and that if chosen, you would probably be succeed during your earthly life. That was the essence of Calvinism. Depravity, predestination, some are chosen and many are not. But the Unitarians said that once again, it's more important than all that non-believing was our beliefs in human agency, in free will, in the use of reason, in the oneness at our very core, the idea of original blessing. Each child, each baby is an original blessing. And we are all a blessing to each other. And that's whatever you call your spirituality, whatever you call your spiritual path. If you call yourself an atheist, an agnostic, a Christian, a humanist, if you speak of God, if you never speak of God, if you're Buddhist, if you speak of the goddess, or Taoism. So that is my, 3-minute explication of Unitarianism. I brought some books, if you want, and a list of history resources there, if you want to look at those afterwards. If you take any or if you borrow any, please tell me. So here we are, the Unitarians. God is one. Then we have Universalists. Universalists are also named after a theological idea. It is the height of irony that a denomination that has no dogma, has nothing, no dogma that you have to believe in, is named after two theological doctrines. So, what here we have? Universalism. The idea that at the end of time, all would be saved. There would be universal salvation. Now that Calvinist list of total depravity and unconditional election of a blessed few to heaven, like the Unitarians, Universalists threw out that list. Universalists in that place believe that God was simply too loving an entity to be so mean-spirited, to be so vindictive, and so unforgiving as the list implied. The spirit of love, the spirit of life, ruled in heaven and on earth. Now, that reminds me of another story, and some of these stories are from this little book called The Church Where People Laugh. So once upon a time, there were two churches in a small rural village. One was Universalist, and the other was very conservative evangelical. A visitor asked a townsperson, "So this is a really little town. Why do you have two churches?" And the resident replied, "Well, the one church says there ain't no hell, and the other church says the hell there ain't." Yeah. Two very different ways of thinking about who we are as people and where we're bound. So for Universalists, as for Unitarians, faith was often faith in action. It was partnering with God. It was partnering with each other, with the principles of reason and freedom and tolerance, or with the ideas of compassion and kindness, hospitality, and fair play. So we partnered. We established faith communities, and we gathered together for many years very separately. We didn't combine until 1961. Now, if you've done any study of Unitarianism or Universalism, our various theologies and atheologies, and by that I probably simply mean by those of us who talk about a God, usually as an unfolding mystery, or who would prefer not to talk about God, and I had one professor who gave me that word, atheology. Our various social justice works, if you know about our various social justice works, or if you have even met a handful of our people, you know what a diverse group we are. So how do you gather this motley crew and have the chutzpah to call them one? Well, it's with the seven principles to start, and they're on the page. If you go to the first hymn in our hymnal, and turn the page to one page before. There are our seven principles, undergirded by our six sources for wisdom. And with our principles and our sources, we navigate as a spirit-filled, justice-seeking individuals and in community. A community that promises each other, that covenants with each other. And covenant simply does mean a promise given. And we promise each other to act with that compassion and kindness and towards a more just world. We're asked to act, to live out our principles, to come together to remind each other. And that's one of the things we do on Sunday, to be reminded of what next, what's important in our lives. And we come to support one another, to feel the spirit moving in us, sometimes with our hymns, sometimes with our readings, the spirit moving in us and around us and through us. So Unitarian Universalists, and if you're new to this faith, we often abbreviate that as UU, we call it UUs, which always brings up my background, which is Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where there's lots of Poles and Germans use guys. So, and I've literally heard people from other faiths say, you can't keep saying you use. Who are these yous that you're talking about? The plural of you or a bunch of female sheep? Unitarian Universalists. It's a long name to say out loud. But we gather together in what is formally referred to as a covenant, an agreement about how we expect to live with one another and look out for one another and our community and our world. A covenant is a solemn promise. Now, our hymn books have a number of readings in the back, and one section is actually affirmations, covenants, and confessions. How often do we do confessions here? Not too often. But one of our covenants, written in the 1930s by the Reverend L. Griswold Williams, reads, "Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest of truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge and freedom, to serve humankind in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow into harmony with the divine. Thus do we covenant with each other and with God." So that's one of our older doctrines or our covenants. An alternate reading is, "Love is the spirit of this church and service its path. This is our great covenant to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another." So our faith movement is somewhat unique, a faith group that offers no dogma, no set of statements laid down by an authority as an incontrovertible truth. Yet we have faith. We have faith in ourselves, in each other. Sometimes it thins out, sometimes it's real thick. As it says in the covenant, grateful for the religious pluralism which enriches and ennobles our faith, we are inspired to deepen our understanding and expand our vision. As free congregations, we enter into this covenant, promising to one another our mutual trust and support. So our covenant is really between congregations, between free congregations who rule themselves and themselves, like, call a minister. But oftentimes, as individuals, we take those principles and our sources and those promises to ourselves. Now, so we got Unitarianism, we got Universalism, we got covenant. Next, we've got elevator speeches. Now, I don't know how aware you are of the idea of elevator speech. It's a 15 to 30 second statement that explains a concept in such a way that a listener will readily understand. And one story for its origins was from Elisha Graves Otis, the inventor of the elevator. It is said that at the 1854 Crystal Palace exhibition, as his elevator went up, it came down in that time, he was able to explain to all of these people that I suspect he hoped would invest in the elevator what this was all about. So it came into fashion, the elevator speech, in the 1990s. It was a way to pitch your story or your product or your movie or whatever. And so it came to be in the 1990s. We probably started talking about it, the Unitarian Universalists, in around 2000. And I can remember saying, so how do you explain to a stranger what Unitarian Universalism is when sometimes you barely have figured it out yourself? So could we pitch our faith in under a minute? Well under a minute. Theoretically, this was the time when you were in an elevator with some stranger and saw your badge and you were a Unitarian Universalist, and they said, what is that? So I can remember the first time I tried to explain, I look back at that and think, oh my God, we could have been in the Sears Tower and we'd have to get stuck like on the 76th floor of the 110th so that I could really explain to somebody what I meant by Unitarian Universalist. So I've been trying to cut it down since then, and interestingly enough, the speech that I thought was so short was 45 seconds. So, okay, here goes. What is Unitarian Universalism? Historically, Unitarians believed in one God. Universalists believed in universal salvation. More recently, I believe as a Unitarian that we are inextricably interconnected. All people, all the world that we see, we've all come from the Big Bang. We've all come from that one essence. We're all that energy and light. As a Universalist, I believe in an evolving love, a unifying mystery that we call love, and it calls us to make sure that everybody has a place at the table of creation. And that's how we're called to justice. We are all one, we are all in this together, and we need to act every twice in a while like we are a blessing to each other, not a curse. So, I'm sure that was longer. I know, I extrapolated for you. I always go off tangent. So, they're off. I keep the elevator door open and keep talking until. So anything longer than that has to be a really thicker, richer conversation. I know that for many years I was very proud to take that label of heretic, of person who, chooses her own beliefs, but that is a kind of a negative connotation, and I am convinced in my heart that when we give our elevator speech, it should not be all those things we don't believe. It should be what we do believe. And that may be in reason, in science, in justice, compassion, the spirit of love, in creativity, a loving God, the sacred art of hospitality. the blessings of our Holy Mother Earth. So you have to ask yourself what you deeply and fervently believe in, with those guidelines of essentially we're all one and we're all in this together. So 60 years ago, just about a little longer, Lakehead Unitarian Fellowship became one of over 300 Unitarian Universalist fellowships, and actually at that time they were sometimes just Unitarian or Universalist. It was a period between 1948 and the early 1960s. So 300 of these fellowships gathered throughout North America in that time. Out of those 300, 250 are still active today. So, got great staying power, tenacious. So with Canadian Unitarians, we envision a world in which our interdependence calls us to love and justice. Lakehead remains a beacon of progressive religion, a gathering of like-minded folks who see in each other original blessings and work toward an earth made fair and all her people one. So as we said in the chalice lighting, love is the doctrine of this church. Our faith in each other is its sacrament. Working for justice and living with compassion is its prayer. Reverently, we covenant together to stand on the side of love, to heal and not to harm, and to share hope with each other, to share hope with each other and with the world. So Marge Piercy tells us we are much stronger together. So I figure a dozen makes a demonstration and 100 fill a hall. We're about 50. So we could make several different demonstrations. We could have at least 4 different demonstrations through this group of people. She continues, it goes on. This building of community, of compassion, of commitment, of promises kept. It goes on one at a time. It starts when you care to act. It starts when you do it again after they say no. It starts when you say we and know who you mean. And each day, you mean one more. And the Blessed Mary Oliver writes, my work is loving the world. Here the sunflowers, there the hummingbird, equal seekers of sweetness. Let me keep my mind on what matters, which is my work, which is mostly standing still and learning to be astonished, which is mostly rejoicing since all ingredients are here, which is gratitude. To be given a mind and a heart and these body clothes, a mouth with which to give shouts of joy, telling everyone all over and over how it is that we live forever. So our Unitarianism may be very head-oriented, it may be very heart-oriented, may be oriented towards creativity or hospitality, it may be oriented towards Buddhism or Taoism. It may be very heart-oriented, maybe a mixture of all of those. So a final joke. The fundamentalist Christian said to a Unitarian Universalist, I hear that you deny the divinity of Christ. And the Unitarian Universalist replied, no, that's not true. We don't deny the divinity of anyone. So, let your individual and your collective galactic divine light shine. May it be so. May we make it so. Blessed be, and amen.